7, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your punishment, now and forever. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinner. Upon this, your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The introit. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth, O Lord.
Sing, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be,
with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies. Cut them off in thy truth, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Glory be to God on high.
And on earth peace to the will of our men. We praise you. We bless you. We worship you. We give you thanks for your great glory. O Lord God, heavenly King, God the Father Almighty, O Lord, come and us now, Jesus Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, who takes away the
Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall please thee. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Sexual immorality as some of them did, nor let us commit sin. sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complained, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come, has come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is the word of the Lord. Rise from the reading of the gospel.
The Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. and I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Sermons on the appointed gospel reading from Luke, the 16th chapter. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. When David, the anointed king over Israel, blessed the Lord before all Israel, he acknowledged that every earthly blessing is that which the Lord has provided. Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. He was a godly king. He did what rulers very rarely do. He acknowledged that he was not the source of every blessing. It is not so with the magistrates today, who try to set themselves forth as the source of every necessity which we have in life. They set themselves often up as little idols, that men might worship them, rather than the God who gives to us all good things. But David, as that anointed king, acknowledged that power, wealth, even victory in battle are among the blessings which the Lord bestows, according to his holy will, from the greatest gift that men might imagine to that which is least in their estimation. The Lord orders all things in heaven and earth. And it is thus that St. Paul instructs the church in 1 Timothy chapter 2 as follows. Therefore he wrote, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. The Christian is mindful that the Lord orders all things in heaven and earth, and therefore he prays that the Lord would bless his church through this ordering, so that we might have the circumstances which are favorable to Christian piety. that is, to godliness. But the world does not want to acknowledge the Lord as the source of anything, let alone of all blessings. And so there is discord and contention for standing in the world. Men fight and scramble for power, for control, for wealth, because they imagine that the distribution of these things can best be distributed according to the imposition of their will. We don't need to look to the ordering of the nations, however, to see the disorder in the hearts of men. We can do it by looking at one steward. The Lord spoke concerning the rich man and his steward right after he concludes the parable of the prodigal son. And this parable helps us to understand the point which our Lord is making in the assigned text for today. There's a juxtaposition, if you will, of stewardship. The prodigal son had asked for and received his portion of the inheritance, even though his father was very much alive. And he then proceeded to spend that wealth, not according to what was good or right, but according to his vanity and the desires of his flesh. And then Jesus said, "But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. We gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." Where there had been riches, there was now appalling poverty. But this poverty was good for this son, for it led him to repentance. Poverty was a greater riches for him than that material wealth ever had been, because it ordered his heart aright in repentance toward his father, toward his God. For he was moved to then that internal dialogue. When he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' In his heart, therefore, the son acknowledged his sin and sought to return to his father's household, even if it was as a servant." The inward confession led to the outward act. But when we hear of the rich man and his steward, a very different thing happens. Once again, there is an account of transgression. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this that I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." There had been a report of wrongdoing, a wasting of the rich man's goods by the steward. The ledgers would be opened, and an account would be made of that steward's exercise of his stewardship. The outcome seems to have been beyond doubt that the man would be stripped of his stewardship. Confronted with his sin, the steward, like the prodigal son, has an internal dialogue regarding the course of action which he should now undertake. Thus we read, "Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.'" Unlike the prodigal son, the steward is too proud to be a servant. He cannot dig. He is ashamed to overtly beg. He cannot work the earth. He cannot bring himself to live off the charity of others. Instead, he engages in the scheme of shared fraud, where the plight of the son led him to repentance. The plight of the steward led him to scheme. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Now the commentators have a lot to say about what transpired here. And sometimes due to a shallow approach to the text, which is natural when viewed in isolation. People wonder, well, what is it that Jesus is commending here? It's more of a matter of establishing the contrast between how these two men deal with their sin and where they are actually seeking their consolation. For the prodigal son, the only thing that matters to him is to be in the father's house. And if that means having to assume the lowest station, he will gladly take it. I will observe in passing that that actual offer to be a servant never comes up with the father. For the father is so quick to receive him back that he restores him to his place without any diminution in status. For the son is a son. The steward illustrates the way of the world in these things. He doesn't care about being in the household. He doesn't care about assuming the lowest place. What he desires is the things of this world. He pursues them with all of his heart, with all of his action. The master commends the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. There's no repentance here. There's only the tactics of the world, the relentless pursuit of worldly goals. For as our Lord declares, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of lions. Now it should go without saying that there is no virtue in the steward's actions. The point is that the world knows how to act like the world. They are consistent. When they betray, when they steal, when they kill, they're simply being the world. We have seen this from the time of Cain, and we will see this to the end of the age. They will relentlessly and ruthlessly pursue that which they desire. Like we were talking in Bible class, more of those who are of the world now simply act like who they always were. They no longer feel the need to act like they're in the kingdom of God. And so they drop their affiliation with the church and overtly live as people of the world, all the while imagining themselves to be good people who are simply doing what everyone does. The goals of the sons of this world are set on the things of this world. They do not think of the things of the triune God and do not have their hope in eternal life. Their entire concern is centered on controlling the things of this fallen world, and they commend one another for the total commitment to the pursuit of such goals. It isn't just a matter of the accumulation of worldly things. It's about having worldly ends. The ideologist who has no interest in personal gain but wants to reorder the entire world toward what they believe to be a more just society or of distribution of wealth or of power and is prepared to do whatever is necessary in the pursuit of such an ideological goal is a son of the world just as surely as the seemingly soulless industrialist who doesn't care what or who is hurt by his pursuit of wealth and power. Because they're the same thing. Sons of this world pursuing worldly goals. Why did the Lord speak to the church concerning the rich man and his unjust steward? Because of the confusion in the minds of the sons of lions. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of lions. He says this because we act like we're confused. Because we are. The contention between the old Adam and the new man in Christ is always present in our members, so that we do not always think and act aright. There is a disjuncture every day between what we know should be our singular focus and that which the flesh would lead us to do instead. And for these things, we repent, knowing that the Lord is merciful and grants unto us the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. But it means that our entire walk is one of repentance before God and before our brethren. It is thus the Lord spoke the words which follow. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he was unjust in what is least, is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The contrast, therefore, is clear. The unjust steward served mammon, money, as his true master. His end is eternal condemnation because he's a fool who lives for the things of a perishing world. But his actions are consistent with his view of the world. The unjust steward and all who are like him think nothing of eternal life and the just judgment of the Lord of heaven and earth. And so they fight and they squabble for the trash of a dying world and commend themselves to one another for their success in amassing it. The Christian should see the disposition of mammon as an opportunity to confess the faith. They are to be faithful in their disposition of the unrighteous mammon as testimony to that which they truly believe. Thus, what our Lord teaches here is in keeping with his words from the Sermon on the Mount. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And again, he teaches us. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to hear these things again and again, because the natural inclination of our flesh is to be drawn away to the love of the things of this world. This is why St. Paul warns us in the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We have been overtaken, but God gives to us the forgiveness of sins through the holy absolution and through Christ's body and blood, that we might have consolation and peace with God as we come before the Lord in repentance of our sin. The terrible judgments which befell the people of Israel when they strayed from the faith are a warning to the church to beware of temptation. Again, in St. Paul's words, now these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, we are continually called to repent of our worldly mindedness. It is thus that the collect directs us to godly prayer. Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy humble servants, that they may obtain their petitions. Make them to ask such things as shall please thee. Our prayer in faith is twofold: that the Lord would hear our prayer, and that we would pray aright, not fretting for the things of this world, but praying for that which the Lord has promised. As our Lord declared in Luke the 11th chapter, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We thus pray in faith that the Lord would guide and direct us by the Holy Spirit, who instructs us through the word of Holy Scripture to those things which are God-pleasing. As we know, we cannot by our own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit calls us by the gospel, enlightens us with his gifts, and sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith. It is the Holy Spirit who guides us to repentance and faith in the Christ. For it is the Christ who has paid for our sins through the shedding of his blood for us. It is the Holy Spirit who creates faith in us to believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh, who loves us and desires that all men would be saved through faith in him. It is the Holy Spirit who grants us faith to believe that which is proclaimed to us, The Christ rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, and will descend on the last day to gather his church to be with him forever in the life of the world to come. Our faith is fixed on Christ. And we see the mammon of this world as something to be used in service of the Lord, and count ourselves blessed in that we know him who has saved us and who has delivered us out of death and condemnation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Almighty God, everlasting Father, we give you thanks that you have blessed us with an abundance of worldly wealth out of your fatherly divine goodness and mercy, and without any merit or worthiness in us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
have mercy. We ask that you would give us the spirit of wisdom, that as children of light we would be shrewd in our stewardship of all of our gifts, possessions, and money. Bless our Bishop James, our pastors Michael and Gary, that they would be shrewd in protecting the flock by preserving true doctrine and practice, to be faithful in very little and in very much, in unrighteous wealth and true riches. Grant safe travel for our bishop as he returns home after examining the teaching and practices of the pastors of our diocese. Bless our Early Childhood Learning Center and our Director Keeley. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord, guide and support all government officials, especially those who serve in positions of authority, including our President Joe, our Governor J.B., our Mayor Steve, as well as the civil servants and police of this community, that those who have been entrusted with community affairs may administer them in good faith. Because you know that we require daily sustenance and have promised to supply what our earthly bodies need, permit us to trust your word that we may not worry about what we will eat or drink, but always give thanks for what you provide. Bless our universities, colleges, and schools so that knowledge may be increased among us, all good learning flourish and abound. Bless all who teach and learn, and grant that they may ever look to you with humble hearts. Protect those who serve in the armed forces, especially Danny, Jason, and Blake, and our police officers, especially Daniel and Alex, that they may diligently carry out their duties and be protected from all harm and danger. Let us pray to the Lord. Bless our shut-ins, Carolyn, Patty, and Tom, as well as our elderly, Violet. Provide for the needs of Kevin, Levi, Anita, Larry and Deb, Christina, Harold, with Jim and Charlotte. We also ask this day, even as Tony was called away, that your blessing might remain upon his mother, Kay. We ask that you would be with your faithful people, even as our tears and sorrows, let them turn to joy as we anticipate your victory over death and the grave. We humbly implore you to strengthen the family in that confident hope of the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Be with Christina and her unborn child, as well as with our students, with Kara, and Jonathan. We ask that you would be with Denise Livingston, a friend of Mary, and that you would provide all of her needs. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we here remember the suffering and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Praising his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is good and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Lord of heaven and earth, we praise and thank you for having had mercy on those whom you created, sending your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, He took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. We implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you.